Well, as you can see from my glowing appearance here, it is very sunny in Sheffield today. However, enjoying himself in the much more glorious sunshine of Portugal is Danny Hall. Danny, we're coming to you live and exclusive. How are you doing over there?
Sweating, probably the optimum description of things at the minute, Chris. You're right. I imagine as glorious as it might be in sunny Sheffield, I think it might be dwarfed by what's happening here in Lisbon, where I think it's touching 35 degrees at the minute.
It's just perfect for me here. It's a wee
Yeah.
bit sunny and it's nice and cool.
As you can
Right.
tell, as you can tell from my position in the shade on this balcony, it's completely wasted on me. But some of the players have been down at the beach. They've got a bit of time off in between training sessions, so they've a few of them are taking advantage of the beach. A few of them have gone to play golf. And I've hidden in the shade to write up a few stories. So that kind of tells you how it's going so far.
That kind of weather is no good for pale lads like us, Danny.
Yeah, to be fair, a few of the lads look a lot better with the tans than I do with my milk bottle
Yeah, I
appearance,
think
but you wear what you've got, don't
you would like to think young athletes would look a little bit better in the sun than we would. Right, let's crack on. So, well, it's been busy over there for a kickoff. There's been a couple of new additions, two new members of the squad. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to tell the nation how to pronounce the latest signing's name, because I've been struggling with it.
Yeah,
So,
it's Tommy Doyle.
Tommy Doyle, I'm fine with. And if you could help us out with the other one, that would be great.
Yeah, we asked Anel this personally, and I'm not sure I'm any the wiser, but he gave it some kind of. I'm trying to think of the way that he pronounced it now. It's Anel Ahmed Hazic was the way that he sort of.
I met his it. Right.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
doesn't
But these
sound it doesn't
things,
sound
as we saw with Sander when he signed, I think sometimes what the player thinks is often the least. I think what he kind of gets coined with first is what kind of sticks. So Sander always insisted he's called Berger, and no one calls him that. I think he's just Sander Berge. So I think whatever he's been coined with already, I think it'll be difficult for him to shake that off. But no, we spoke to Anel about an hour ago. Seems a really impressive young man, actually. For someone so young, 23. I mean, I'm at that age now where 23 is young to me. And he seemed to really, it came across really impressively. You know, I think that sort of football experience he's had, you know, experiencing different cultures and learning so many different, you know, kind of tactical differences in different countries for different teams. I think that's really come across in him as a person as well, in the way he spoke and the way he thinks about the game. So there were some really interesting bits to come out of that interview, which of course we'll put out over the next few coming days. And from what we saw with him out on the pitch as well, which is that's where it matters, isn't it? It looked to be fitting in well with the lads as well. George Baldock says that he's a nice young man as well, which always helps. He said that the both Anel and Tommy, the overriding factor that he saw from them is that they were both good guys first and foremost. You know, he said you can tell the quality, you can tell the level they've played at, but first and foremost they are good people, which kind of fits in, I think, with what Paul Heckingbottom's trying to do here, recruiting a good squad of good people as well as good footballers.
It might sound like you're making more of that than necessary, but it is important, isn't it? And there are a lot of managers who'll go, well, I don't care what he's like off the pitch as long as he does the business on it. That's not necessarily the way that Hecky deals with his squad, and certainly I think probably Chris Wilder was the same before him as well, where
Yeah, I
they're
was going to
building a
say,
squad and that's what has to be on.
yeah, I don't think it's uniquely a Paul Heckingbottom thing. I don't think it was uniquely a Chris Wilder thing. I think, on the whole, I'd say it's more of a Sheffield United thing. I think it's a club where everything seems to function a little bit better. Everything's a little bit more coherent when everyone is pulling in the same direction. You know, going back to a bit before my time, but going back to speaking to people in the Dave Bassett era, you know, everyone was in that together. Everyone pulling in the same direction. And you know, you only have to see the sort of results on the pitch to see how much that worked. So I think it's no secret that this club is one that's been successful when everyone is pulling in the same direction and sort of all in. It's a cliche, isn't it? But all in, one in kind of thing. I think that's a more a Sheffield United thing than a Paul Heckenbottom thing, a Chris Wilder thing, a Dave Bassett thing. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that the best periods in, you know, United's recent history have come when everyone is so together. So, you know, things like this are really important. We spoke to George Baldock and asked him, you know, how important as a footballer are these pre-season tours? You know, because we can sit here and say, you know, they're great for team bonding, but we don't know. You know, we only see a little bit, peek behind the curtain. And he said, if he was a manager, you know, it'd be the first thing that he did every pre-season, get all the players out together and sort of get them living in each other's pockets and learning the good and bad traits about each other, because, you know, you're going to be in the trenches with these lads for the next 9 months. So you're going to find out a hell of a lot about each other over the next 9 months. So I think weeks like this, you know, I wrote it in a piece today. If United are celebrating promotion in 9-10 months' time, whenever it might be, you know, I think you can pretty much trace that back to these pitches here, because a hell of a lot of work is going on out here, on and off the pitch, to sort of gel that squad together. And if it all comes together, then I think what happens here will have a hell of a lot to do with that.
Just gives a little bit of insight into what they have been doing. I mean, obviously, I would imagine with these kind of things, Paul's not exactly going to pull the curtain back completely and allow you full access to every cough and splutter that's been going on the training pitch. But from what you've seen, what kinds of things have they been working on?
There's been a lot of running, as you probably expect. In fairness to Paul and to the coaching staff and to the media staff as well, to be fair, they have kind of let us, given us pretty much free rein of what's happening so far, you know, observing the sessions. And I was saying to one of the guys earlier, you know, there's a lot to kind of envy about a footballer's lifestyle sometimes. But then when you see things like this, where they're absolutely being slogged half to death in 35 degree heat, perhaps you think, well, you know, maybe it's not all glamour, because there was some real hard work being done. They're being slogged with double sessions every day. The new head of performance, Tom Little, who we spoke to earlier, has been big on sort of building that the fitness, but also I think a lot of it is the sort of mental resilience of it. You know, a lot of that, the Championship football is going again, you know, playing Saturday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, you know, as the Champions season is going to be this time round. And I think a lot of this has also been, as much as building, you know, getting those minutes in the legs and that air in the lungs, I think a lot of it is testing players up there as well. You know, how can you cope with doing a double session and then, you know, going again in the morning? You know, how can you cope with just doing one more shuttle run after you've done what must seem like 10,000 shuttle runs in the last 5 minutes? You know, can you dig deep and go again? And to be fair to these boys, they look like they've dug deep and then some. But as well as that, there has been a lot of technical, you know, the balls have come out quite early on, which is something George referenced, which I think is always a big thing for a footballer. You know, I think the days of coming in at pre-season and for the first 6 weeks or whatever, just being cross-countryed to death, I think they're long gone. I think now it's a hell of a lot more technical. There's a lot more work with the footballs that are going on. But there is also a place, I think, for the old-fashioned beasting and the outfield players. They've certainly gone through that. I think looking at that, the place to be is a goalkeeper. They have it easy, but a hell of a lot easier than the outfield boys.
Just going back there, so you say you spoke to Anel earlier on. What are his first impressions of the club, and what is he expecting from Sheffield United this season?
Yeah, I think to be fair to Anel, he said this up front, you know, this is not a new experience for him. He actually knew a lot about Sheffield United before he came in. He said he had a lot of conversations with Paul before he came in. And he also, interestingly, said later on in our chat that he remembered playing against United from when he was at Forest. You know, obviously he wasn't there a long time. He didn't make a lot of appearances for them. But obviously that's something that stuck in his mind. And something we touched on as well is that, you know, for 2 years, Sheffield United had a global platform in the Premier League. You know, they didn't do that on the quiet. So I think a lot of players didn't have that sort of knowledge already of Sheffield United, they will now know what Sheffield United are all about from those 2 years. So I think that'll be an interesting one if more players do come from abroad. You know, it's not a completely new environment to them. They'll have some kind of idea about how United go about the business. And to not give the story away, which I've just written, but he's expecting good things this season from United, you know, based on what he's seen, based on what Paul has said to him, based on what he already knows. Because obviously, you know, English football is so massive now that, sorry, English football is so big now, I don't use that word massive on here, that nothing happens on the quiet, you know. So he'll have seen snippets from last season, I'm sure. He knows Mo Besic, of course, from when he had a short spell at United a couple of seasons back. And yeah, he's expecting big things. And I think United, to be fair, are expecting big things from him. I think in football terms, the fee's not massive. In Sheffield United, so I've done it again. Football terms, the fee is not huge. But in Sheffield United terms, it's a significant amount of money to be spent. So there'll be a little bit of pressure on his shoulders from supporters. But he seems like a really level-headed, you know, young man. I was going to say kid, but he seems like a really level-headed young man. You know, he spent last season playing in France against the likes of Lionel Messi for PSG, which we also touched on. So I don't think anything in the Championship, with due respect to the Championship, I don't think anything that he'll face there will particularly faze him. But, you know, he'll have to take a little bit of time to get used to the intensity of it a little bit, I imagine. But, yeah, on the whole, I think it's a signing that I really like.
I spoke to James about this earlier on in the week. The fee, as you say, isn't huge in football terms, even in Championship terms these days. But it's somewhat akin to a few years ago when they paid the money that they did for John Egan.
Yeah.
You know, for obviously a similar, if not the same position. It's very clear that Paul and the club saw this as being their, not, I don't mean to say weakest link, but it's an area that they really need to strengthen and bring in, because there have been a lot of players who have kind of had to fill in and kind of drifted in and out of the team, and loan players and players kind of round pegs and square holes over the past probably 18 months, maybe 2 years even, really.
Yeah, I think Paul's obviously something he's touched on before as well. He's so big on succession planning, is what he calls it. That's his term for it. So this is not just a signing for next season. He'll see it as a signing for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the line. You know, Paul talks a lot about the work he's doing now, the work Jack's doing, the work Stuart McCall's doing is not just for now. It's kind of putting the, you know, the building blocks in place, as it were, for, you know, maybe it's another manager down the line that gets the benefits of it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And John Egan, I mean, it's incredible to think now that was a club record deal at the time. You know, that's just how quickly, you know, the club's kind of moved on in the season since. But that also suggests to you how big a deal spending that amount of money is for this football club. So it is a significant amount. But I don't think anyone can look back at signing John Egan for £4 million and say it wasn't anything but an unbelievable deal. So, you know, hopefully Nell has the same impact. As we say, everything important happens out there. It doesn't matter what he says to us, you know, to a degree. You know, that's not what he's going to be judged on. It's judged on what he does out there. But yeah, everything we've seen so far suggests that it'll be a really good signing. And there's so much potential to improve as well. You know, at 23 years old, he's a baby, isn't he? For that, you know, for the fee and for the experience he's had, the international experience, the kind of teams he's played for, the players he's played against. He was reeling them off to me early. You know, it's all, you know, played against Lionel Messi, and then I played against Mbappe and Giroud for France. And then you're thinking, wow, you know, this guy's seen a lot already, you know, for such a relatively young man. So, yeah, that kind of experience and that know-how that you can pass on as well to other people, you know, I can't imagine, again, with respect to the Championship, there's not going to be much that he'll come up against next season that will faze him, you would imagine.
Going back then, another new name, another new face at the club, Tommy Doyle, arrived on loan from Manchester City earlier on in the week. Highly rated by everyone at Man City, certainly. Highly rated by anyone who saw him at Cardiff City last season. And not the position that necessarily needed filled, as a huge priority, I would say, but certainly they weren't exactly overcome with options in midfield there. So what's he going to bring to that? The midfield that, if we're honest, hasn't changed a great deal over the past, I don't know, 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just different options, isn't it? What I really liked about Tommy was he was asked this question out here, you know, what can Blades fans expect from you? And he said, you know, the usual goals, assists, tackles, whatever. And he just said, above all, I'm just going to give everything. And I really like that because I think it almost suggests that he, for a player who arrived here, you know, a day before he was interviewed, it almost seems like he has the, you know, a kind of inside track or a bit of an understanding about what makes this place work. Because I think, you know, as we've seen and you've seen and everyone who watches Sheffield United have seen, you know, sometimes a big tackle or a big, you know, racing back to snuff out some danger or something almost gets a bigger cheer sometimes than a moment of magic. And he seems to really understand that. And of course, built on the top of that, you know, if you're a player that Pep Guardiola describes as special, which I think he's done on a couple of times, then you've obviously got something about you. And I know Tommy's spoken to Morgan Gibbs-White before he arrived. I think in many ways, Morgan sort of exemplifies what the, you know, he's kind of laid the platform that Tommy has to follow in terms of everyone knows Morgan's quality. Everyone knows that he could change a game, you know, in the flip, you know, at the click of his wrists, a click of his fingers. You know, that goal against Middlesbrough is still one of the best I've ever seen live. He had that in his locker, you know, he could change the game in a second. On top of that, he never stopped running. You know, he absolutely worked his backside off for the cause. You know, he never stopped, he never hid, and he worked incredibly hard, and he kind of understood what you have to do to earn the right to play. And I think that's as much as the flicks and the tricks and the goals and the long-range screamers. I think a lot of the love that Sheffield United fans have for Morgan was kind of built on that understanding of what this club's about. You know, it's about rolling your sleeves up and working and earning the right to play. So if Tommy, you know, takes anything from Morgan, which I'm sure he will, when he speaks to or once he spoke to him, if he takes that from him, you know, that kind of hard work and determination and then to play, I think United could have a very special special player on their hands.
Just go back to where you're at then. The facility itself, this is the... this is Portugal, St. George's Park, really, isn't it? This is...
Yeah, with bells on, really.
I was going to say, with bells on, because it seems to be a lot more... It seems to be fancier than St. George's Park, from what I can see of the pictures. You touched on it a little bit earlier on from a video that you sent us from there. Is there a feeling around the club that... pre-season last year, and I must have to point this out early on, it wasn't necessarily anybody's fault from the club, yeah, because the matches were called off as a result of COVID, but last pre-season was something of a shambles, and it appears, given that where they're going, the games that have been organised, both out there and whenever they come back next week, they are doing everything to make sure that last season's disjointed pre-season isn't repeated this year.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're almost loath sometimes to give footballers excuses because they'll take any chance that you give them to kind of excuse themselves from poor performances. But I think the disjointed, I think, is one way to put it. Pre-season last season will have had a massive effect, a huge effect on how you know, the season started and how they kind of hit the ground running, especially under the new manager, Slavisa Jokanovic. You know, he was frustrated about, as you said, it's no one's fault. You know, United can't be blamed for what happened, but it did have an effect on how they started, I believe. But you know, if they start this season in a similar fashion, they could have no, you know, they can't point to this and say that's the reason. This is absolutely unbelievable. You know, before I came out here, from people who were here speaking to them, they said it was good. They said it was brilliant. But to be here and actually see it in the flesh is remarkable. You know, it's everything they have is here. You know, and you know, even what they didn't have in terms of the dietary things. They've flown out their own chefs, United, to give the players what they need in terms of that. The training pitches are absolutely unbelievable. And it's the recovery things. You know, George talked about the cryotherapy rooms and the, you know, the swimming pools with the bikes underneath and everything really that United could possibly want and probably more is here. And also, you know, there's plenty of things for the players during their downtime. A few of the lads today have gone for a round of golf. A few went to the beach, as we touched on earlier. There's a barbecue planned later. And pretty much everything they could possibly need is within these grounds. I don't know if you can see over my shoulder how nice this is. This is just one section. The Blades have been training on a pitch further down on the bottom of that. Yeah, it just seems to be green as far as the eye can see. But, you know, this is a place built for a top footballing nation in Portugal. And as we said earlier, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo was here earlier this week. So I don't think you can get a better seal of approval than that, really.
It doesn't look like there's a pub in it, Danny.
Oh, what, sorry?
It doesn't look like there's a pub in it.
No, that's the only thing it's lacking. It's a dry camp, officially. But yeah, everything else is here. Plenty of water as well, which is useful because it's absolutely cracking the flags here.
You better get yourself in a taxi then. Yeah, just one more thing then before we let you get on with the important part of writing up all your stories. So tomorrow, obviously the match is tomorrow night. It is tomorrow night, isn't it?
I'm losing
track of days myself. The match is tomorrow night. So I guess, will there be light sessions tomorrow? Will they come on, could have a little bit of a run around, I guess, tomorrow before they play the match tomorrow night?
Yeah, we expect a light sort of session just in the morning, a bit of a warm-up sort of thing. But I don't think they'll be stretched too much with the game in the afternoon against Casapia. We expect a lot of the lads, as this kind of first friendly always seems to happen, you know, just to get 45 minutes each in the legs, especially the boys that have been out with the international teams, you know, George Baldock and Jai, Berger, Egan, you know, those boys, it's important not to rush them back in too much. But, of course, it's important with the earlier start this season, you know, the season starting earlier than ever to get, you know, that sort of build-up of minutes in the legs. So expect a lot of the boys to play sort of 45 minutes each. I thought, you know, some might maybe play an hour and then kind of build that up when we get back to England with Lincoln on Tuesday, I believe it is.
We are expecting to see Tommy Doyle and
they'll play, I would imagine. Both are here training. I'm sure they'll be chomping at the bit to sort of get their debuts, as it were, out of the way and get to know their teammates in a more competitive session than this sort of training sessions that they've been involved in. And it'll be interesting to see how they go. It'll be interesting, as you touched on before, how Paul sort of lines them up and how they're utilised. I think that might offer a few clues as to how he wants to go. We spoke to Anel. He says he can play anywhere across the back three and in defensive midfield. So he's putting his hand up early for a shirt for the first game of the season, telling the boss he can play anywhere. You know, Tommy Doyle, will he play a little bit more advanced with Sander Berger, with Ollie Norwood sitting in the midfield? You know, where does that leave John Fleck? Does one of them play as a second striker? You know, there's all sorts of different options, which is, you know, I think that's what the signing of Doyle sort of gives Paul, you know, gives him those options to kind of change things up and, you know, explore different systems and different tactics to see what works best. You know, a lot of people are wondering whether he's Sander's replacement. The noise from here is still the same that, you know, he's not for sale unless what would be a pretty huge bid, doesn't it? You know, I think the thinking very much at the minute is to pair them together, you know, in the same lineup, or at least in the squad. And as we said to George earlier, he was a big pal of Sanders. You know, at times last season, he was absolutely frightening, wasn't he, when he rampaged forward and had defenders bouncing off him all over the place. So a fully fit, firing Sander Berger if he stays with Tommy, you know, Ollie Norwood, John Fleck, you know, suddenly gives United a lot more firepower and options in that midfield, doesn't it, if Paul does change it up. So yeah, as I say, it's a signing that I really like, and I'm interested to see how they sort of line up tomorrow night against Casapia.
Okay, Danny, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to it and keep enjoying the sunshine over there, and make sure you've got the Factor 50 with you as well.
Do right.
Cheers, Danny.
Thank you. Take care.